Hi, Living Love family. Welcome back. This season, we are asking hard questions from the Gospel of Mark. This is so relevant because the questions we ask shape the way we show up in the world. Today, we are studying a question from Mark 4, verse 35 to 41. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And we are pairing this question with the question a lot of us are asking God right now. God, don't you care that I'm struggling? We ask this question in a hospital waiting room, or when we have financial problems, or when we are facing the end of a long-term relationship. So, if this is a question that you or a friend is facing right now, then this episode is for you. Before we proceed, please remember to download the Bible study work pages on my website at SamanthaShambo.com. These work pages include reflection questions, journaling prompts, and a study guide to help you process what you are learning in this passage. And as always, please share this episode if it helped you in any way. I've had many times when I ask God the same question. Jesus, don't you care that I'm struggling? When I first went to the Nazarene Bible College, I didn't have any money to pay my school fees. I sold food, I raised support, I did everything I could just to have enough money to register. And I felt relieved because I thought the hard part was over. However, 3 months in, I fell behind in my payments. I got called into the registrar's office and she told me, Samantha, you have to go home because you didn't pay your bills. I was devastated. And it wasn't just because of the money. I believed with everything in me that God called me into full-time ministries. And I believed that being at that school was part of that calling. And now I was being told to pack my bags and to leave. I remember praying something like this as I walked out of the office. God, don't you care that this is happening to me? You said that you would be with me. You said that you would provide. And now here I am, I'm being sent home because of money. I felt confused and abandoned, and my mind was just racing. I was just trying to think of ways to raise money. Later that same day, the registrar called me back in, and I thought, oh no, does she have more bad news for me? But to my surprise, she said to me, Samantha, you don't have to worry. An anonymous donor cleared your bill. I was so relieved. But this same situation kept surfacing many times during my 4 years of undergrad studies because I just didn't have the money. This was a source of continual stress, anxiety, and humiliation for me. And every time in that moment, I asked for evidence that God wasn't present or that He wasn't doing what I wanted Him to do. And I asked this question several times, God, don't you care that I have to suffer through this stress and this humiliation? We see the same question in Mark 4, verse 35 to 41. At the end of a long day of teaching, Jesus said to His disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." Then a furious storm came up. The waves was breaking into the boat and it was already filling up with water. And where was Jesus? He was asleep in the stern on a cushion. So they wake Him up and they say to Him, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" They couldn't believe that Jesus was sleeping in this situation. So they were actually accusing Him of carelessness. That was an accusation about His character. And it's worth asking ourselves the same question. What do you conclude about God when He doesn't act the way you expect Him to act? Jesus gets up, He rebukes the wind and He says to the sea, "Peace, be still." And it's completely calm. And then He turns to them and He asks them this question. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And Mark tells us they were filled with great fear. And they said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" The disciples' questions, "Don't you care?" resonate with us because it's a question we ask when we are suffering. And along with that comes another question. Can I trust God when it feels like He's not doing anything about my situation? This is more than a situational question. It deals with what I believe about God's character. Who is Jesus, especially when life gets hard? This is a question Mark addresses in the whole gospel. Who is this Jesus? Circumstances force the disciples to question Jesus' care. Jesus' response exposes what they actually believe about him, and the miracle forced them to reconsider who Jesus really is. The storm doesn't only reveal their fear, it reveals their theology. Help us understand this question the way Mark's first readers would have. You have to know what the sea meant to them. In the Old Testament, the sea is never just water. It is a picture of chaos itself, the thing that God pushed back to make room for the world in Genesis 1. Job says God alone shut in the sea with doors. The psalm says it plainly, "You rule the raging sea. When its waves rise, you still them." Psalm 107 is about sailors caught exactly in this kind of storm, crying out to the Lord in their trouble, and he made the storm still. The waves of the sea were hushed. In Israel's scriptures, commanding the sea and being obeyed by it is something that only God does. So when the disciples ask, "Who then is this that even the waves obey him?" Mark is leaving this question hanging on purpose. He wants to remind us of the Creator God who shut the sea in. When you read Mark's gospel, you will see some version of this question, "Who is this?" keep surfacing throughout the gospel. From the disciples, the crowds, the religious leaders, and it takes the whole book to answer the question. And the answer is revealed in the cross. So let's look at what is actually happening in this story. I think it teaches us a lot about who God is, especially when we are navigating difficult times. First, following Jesus doesn't exempt us from the storm. The crossing was Jesus' idea, not the disciples. They were in that boat because Jesus said, "Let's go across to the other side." A storm in the middle of following Jesus isn't proof that you missed his will and you did not take a wrong turn. Sometimes obedience will take you right through the storm. I learned this the hard way while I was preparing for full-time ministry. Money wasn't the only challenge I had to face. I faced temptations to sin and to walk away from my calling. I lost loved ones. I actually completed my PhD during a global pandemic. Following Jesus does not exempt us from hardship, and difficulties is not necessarily a sign that we're out of God's will. Next, we can bring our fears and confusion to Jesus. The disciples went to Jesus, woke him up, and said exactly what they felt. They accused him of not caring. But Jesus didn't condemn them for their honesty. He calms the storm and then he tells them to have faith. This tells you that it is safe to bring your real self to God. The Bible is full of stories about people pouring out their pain and frustration to God, like Job and Hannah, and even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus actually invites us to bring our burdens to him. In Matthew 11 verse 28, he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We can turn to Jesus in the middle of our storms. Number three, Jesus wasn't asleep because he was careless. He cared a lot. Mark doesn't actually tell us why Jesus was able to sleep in that kind of storm. We know it had been a long day of teaching, so possibly he was just tired. But it also shows us that Jesus wasn't anxious or worried because he trusted in his Father who was with him all the time. We said previously that Mark does not give us long theological explanations, but it tells us what happened so we can learn from it. This question, "Does Jesus care?" is answered more explicitly from chapter 14. Here we find Jesus praying in Gethsemane where he confesses to his disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed to the point of death." Jesus knows deep sorrow. Then he gets betrayed by one of his disciples who spent 3 years with him. Then he's arrested unjustly and people give false testimonies against him. After this, one of his closest disciples, Peter, disowns him. Jesus is mocked, humiliated, and goes through the physical horror of the crucifixion. And even in his death, he expresses suffering. My God, why have you forsaken me? These stories tell us that Jesus cares. He cares so much that he went through the whole range of human suffering to save and to deliver us. And he is still with us in every pain and suffering we might be facing today. Fourth, Jesus has the power and the authority to calm your storm. Jesus rebuked the raging waters and the winds, just like he rebuked the evil spirits in chapters 1 and 2. We mentioned earlier that even though the sea was a symbol of chaos, God rules over the seas. I have learned this in every season of my life. There is no problem too difficult for Jesus. He can calm our storms and he is trustworthy. Now, I'm not saying that if you have enough faith, you can command your storm and it will quiet immediately. I know that some of the most sincere Christians prayed exactly what the disciples prayed and they watched their storm keep raging. Loved ones still died. The job didn't come. The marriage didn't survive the storm. If you are in that place right now, still waiting. In your waiting, hold on to one small thing. Even when you cannot see it, remember Jesus is present in the boat with you. If all you can do today is just to take the next step, know that you are not taking that step alone. Number 5, faith is about who we trust, not getting what we want. Jesus rebuked his disciples. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? This question shows us that Jesus was frustrated with his disciples because they still didn't get it. Right from the start, Jesus was revealing who he was and inviting them into a relationship based on trust. He did miracles, he delivered people from evil spirits, he explained the meaning of the kingdom to them in private. But all this was a means to an end. He wanted to reveal himself to them. But they still failed to grasp his identity. They continued to focus on what they needed and on the miracles. At the end of this miracle, they were awestruck and they begin to see a bit of the divine identity in Jesus, even though it was a little fuzzy. Sometimes we use the presence of Jesus like a good luck charm, something that we can wish on to make our storms go away. When we begin to think, how can we get God to do what we want him to do? Our faith becomes utilitarian, and it is no longer the saving faith that draws us closer to Jesus. So, what's holding you back from resting and trusting Jesus? If you're honest, it might be the same things that held me back when I was in Bible school. My preconceived ideas of how I wanted God to act, my need to control God and my own situations. And sometimes I got so fixated on the crisis right in front of me that I lost the ability to see and enjoy the presence of Jesus with me right there in my storms. Looking back at all the stuff I went through in my life, I could see that Jesus was with me all the time. Here's what I want you to remember this week. Jesus knows, he cares about your storms, and he has the ability to get you through it. He is with you, even when it feels as if he is asleep. Whatever your storm actually is right now, it's not proof that God has abandoned you. It is an opportunity for you to experience the presence and the power of Jesus right in the middle of your challenge. So here's your Living Life Challenge for this week. Look for Jesus in the situation that you are facing. He is with you, even if it looks as if he's asleep. Intentionally remember how he delivered you in the past. Pray that the Holy Spirit will help you to see him right now. Release your preconceived ideas of the outcomes you want and trust that God knows best. Trust who He is instead of what He can do for you. And when you doubt, even after praying, don't give up. Doubt is a normal part of being human. The key is to keep reaching for Jesus in prayer. Talk to trusted mentors. Continue to seek Jesus in prayers, journaling, and worship times. He's always near and working on your behalf. I invite you to join the Living Love community. This is a place you can find encouragement when you are struggling. You can connect by posting a comment or emailing me at livingloved@samanthashambo.com. Share your stories in a message or reply to others in the community. Let us know the storms you are facing, how we can pray for you, and how Jesus brought you through. Thank you for joining me today. Remember, no matter your story, in Christ you are deeply known, fully loved, and you have a divine purpose. Until next time, keep living loved.